everyone. Welcome to the Museum Theatre Musings podcast. I am your host, Jo Klein. If you've just joined us, this is the podcast where we discuss how theatrical performance can be used to enhance visitor experience in cultural institutions. In this episode, I muse with Emmanuel Jewel Prepa-Menza, who is a theatre practitioner, researcher, and the current head of Performing Arts Department at the Centre for National Culture, Ashanti Region, Ghana, West Africa. His research interests include participatory arts, interculturalism, artistic entrepreneurship, innovation, and museum and tourist economics. He was instrumental in the National COVID-19 Trust Fund and CARE International Ghana Special COVID-19 Community Education Project that sensitized citizens on the pandemic safety protocols in the Ashanti region. And he was both the playwright and the artistic director of that project. This interview is particularly exciting because historically, museum theatre doesn't have a huge presence in West Africa. But Emmanuel is one of the key people working towards developing a local museum theatre movement to interpret cultural collections at historic sites in Ghana. Emmanuel, welcome to the podcast. So first of all, Emmanuel, it is such a pleasure to have you on the podcast. We're so incredibly excited that museum theatre is happening in Ghana. The thing that we're all dying to know is, how did you first hear about museum theatre?
Thank you, Joe. Before I begin, I want to thank you for this invitation, and I'm honored for this opportunity as well. Yeah, so museum theatre. Actually, when I finished my first degree in Cape Coast at the University of Cape Coast, I came to Kumasi. That's where I was born and bred. That's where I come from. So I went to one of the famous museums in Kumasi. And there, and per my background in performing art. So after my encounter with the museum director at the Mashiya Palace Museum in Kumasi, Ashanti region, Ghana. So he asked me, Emmanuel, anytime tourists come to the museum, they ask me, do we have theatrical performances on some of the artifacts here in the museum? I mean, some kind of drama performances based on the artifact or the museum collections. So he was asking me that when tourists come there, they used to ask him that frequently. So it was based on that encounter with him that I began to research if there's any concept like that, or if there's any concept that has been done across the globe. So through my research, I came across this innovative concept of museum theater. So I began to do some background research on the concept, and that's where I came to know of this fantastic concept.
The tourists who were asking for theatrical performances, were they local or were they from overseas? What kind of people were thinking that they would like to see something theatrical in a museum?
Yeah, actually, the museum is open to the general public. However, most of its patrons are also international visitors. Whereby some people come from those in the like Jamaica, US, Caribbean, and other parts of the continent. So they come there every day. For instance, yesterday, the museum received some tourists from US. So every day it is open for visitors across the globe.
Because so many people don't know that performance happens in the museum. So I'm really heartened to hear that people were asking for it. That's fantastic. And which particular museum was it that you're discussing, that you're talking about?
Yeah, that museum is the Mashiya Palace Museum. Palace Museum. It is one of the famous museums in Ghana. One of the most famous and most patronized museums in Ghana. And it is so. It is so because the museum is located at the seat of the King of Ashanti Kingdom. So because of that, just last week, the king himself received a delegation from the Commonwealth, Commonwealth Parliament from UK and other parts of the world. So it's like every day the king receives visitors, and through that, they also go to the museums to observe the kind of collections there.
And what sort of collections do you find in the museum? What kind of artifacts do you find?
Yeah, at the museum, we find several artifacts. We have historical objects, cultural objects, as well as art collections as well. So it's a portfolio of collections.
Do they tell the story of the country? Is it like a museum that tells a particular story in a particular way?
Yeah, so as I said earlier, the museum is located at the seat of the King of Asante Kingdom. So the museum tells the story of all the kings of the kingdom. For now, we have the current king is the 16th occupant of the Golden Stool of the King of Asante Kingdom. So the museum was established to house the collections of the previous kings.
Right.
Their history, everything about their everything about them. I mean, including the traditional cloth, their traditional sandals, the palanquins that the kings rode in, the kind of objects they used, as well as the gifts they also received from the gifts they also received from international. I mean, like presidents, other kings across the globe. So the museum houses several objects. You have guns there. You have, the stools. You have the stools. You have drums. You have seko, a whole lot of artifacts, several.
But I don't think there's a similar museum in Australia because we share our royalty with Britain. So we don't really have, we don't have any royalty who live on our continent. So we don't really tell those stories much in our museum. Like, there certainly wouldn't be one dedicated to it in Australia. But what really amazes me about you is you have lots of different skills and you've done lots of different jobs in the arts industry. So I know you're a performer, you're a writer, and you're a researcher. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the things that you've done in this industry?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so as you rightly said, I am actor, script writer, and director as well. And now, currently, I am the head of performing arts department at the Center for National Culture, the biggest cultural village or center in West Africa. Yeah, so there you have the another performing arts department. You have the drama, the dance section, the music section as well. So when I was young, I used to go there, have experience of the kind of activities that they do there. So I get some kind of experience before I went to the university. And after completing my course in theater studies and performing arts management, I was to go and serve at the Menshia Palace, but a king there told me that I have to go to the cultural center, pay my experience to go there, help them with the drama and all that. So through that, I was writing scripts based on the textbooks that the students read. Literature books. So we used to perform the plays on that. And also, I've also been writing scripts for theater for development programs, like any kind of societal issues or challenges. I will write a script and put up a performance on that to educate the community, the people, to address this kind of societal issues and challenges. Talk of sanitation, health, teenage pregnancy, malaria prevention, any kind of societal problem. And until recently too, I was very much involved in the fight against the COVID-19 at the national level, whereby I was commissioned to also write a script based on the pandemic. And we did that and also toured several districts in Ashanti region, whereby I used to tour several communities, several district assemblies to perform the play based on the COVID-19, protocols, hand washing and all that. So for the drama, I've been doing a lot here in Ghana. And after, so it was based after my encounter with the director at the Mensah Palace Museum. That's where this idea came that, wow, fine. So you have this object at the museum. Can't you write scripts based on these museum collections? And these collections, they have rich histories based on this, the artifacts. And as I said earlier, all the collections, are based on Ashanti history. And these collections, yeah, they have this rich, legacy of rich cultural history and unique artifacts, preserving the history and the culture of the Ashanti people. So it was through that I began to script some of these artifacts, like the language staff, like the golden stool, which is one of the sacred collection or objects of the Ashanti kingdom.
Okay, so I'm
So,
just going to just repeat things because it's so important. The linguistic staff. When I read about this, I automatically just went, "This is so interesting." So please tell us more about the linguistic. So was that the first thing you decided to write about?
Actually, the museum collection or the object is linguist staff. And the linguist here in Ghana or in the Akan world, we call it Ochiame Apuma. Ochiame Apuma. The linguist is someone, the linguist is the spokesperson of the Ashanti king or Ashanti chiefs. And all these chiefs and all these linguists, they have this staff. All these linguists, they have this staff which communicates or which have philosophical ideas that always communicate to the people. And this linguist staff is a decorated scepter carried by linguists, which is the chief or the king's spokesperson, which is a symbol of power or office. And as I said earlier, in the Akan setting, it is called Achiame Puma. And when the Ochiame or the linguist conducts official business, attends public events, or address the chief, these linguists carry, the staff. So the language staff that the museum theater was based on is actually housed at the Prempeh, the Second Jubilee Museum. That is where my office is currently. That is where I work. And this staff, they epitomizes philosophies and the origin of the eight clans or the families of the Akan clan system in the southern part of Ghana.
I'm just having a look
Right?
at a picture of
And
it, and it's gold. Is that right? It's a golden staff.
actually, they are in different colors. We have the gold one, some are also in black, some are also in white. They are in different colors. But usually the most prominent or the common ones are in gold color.
And does the one you interpret have any figures or decoration at the top? Does the one that you have in the museum have any figures, little images or sculptures at the top of it? And what are they?
Sure. Yeah. And all these, as you rightly said, all these images or imageries, they are symbols of animals. Symbols of animals. Yeah. And that is what we called totems. Totems. And as I said earlier, among the Akan clan system, you have eight families. You have eight families, and each family or each class system has an animal that has an animal or totem that epitomizes or that represents the families. So anytime someone is walking in town and the language staff, that the linguist or any person is coming, and that staff has the symbol or the totem of, let's say, the animal of a dog, any person knows that this person belongs to the Aduana clan or the Aduana family. So all these animals, anywhere around the world, if anybody sees that this person is carrying this staff with this totem or animal on top, everybody knows that this person belongs to the family or the clan of Aduana in Ghana.
I'm just looking at some pictures, yeah. and I can see leopards, elephants, monkeys.
Exactly.
Bird, maybe, is it an eagle or some sort of bird?
Yeah, eagle.
Eagle, yeah.
Yeah, eagle.
Do you know, this is very interesting. This is interesting to me because my father was a professor of linguistics. So he was a linguist.
Wow, great,
he
great.
Loved to have known that there was a linguist.
Exactly.
And that linguists were held in such high regard in Ghana. He would have been absolutely thrilled to know that. So that's quite wonderful to me. And what kind of people, what kind of characters did you have in your piece of museum theatre about the linguist staff? What kind of actors or characters did you have? What kind of people were in your play? Was it a king? Were there linguists and people? Or was it just one or two people talking?
Yeah, actually, it was a whole ensemble. I mean, there was a king in the performance in his full regalia, full adornment, like the gold chains, necklaces, head gear, foot gear, the ahenema sandal, and the rich kente. It was in full adornment, costume, rich, everything. And there was and in Ghana or Amanda Khan's, all our chiefs, the chiefs don't walk alone. The chief moves with a team. And as you say, drama or theater is an imitation of an act. So therefore, I have to bring all these people to bear so that anybody watching the performance will know that, yes, this is Ken with face and entourage. So there was a king, there was a chief, there was a queen mother. And the queen mother also had her own entourage. Our king moves, like, as you say, our king, I mean, the movement of our king is like a museum itself, because the king moves with art collections and cultural collections, like the adornment, the guns, the gold chains, necklaces, head gear, everything. And the costume is also designed with art objects and all that. So, like, the movement of the king is a museum itself. And as I said, the king also doesn't move alone. The king always moves with entourage. Like, and each of them also have a particular role to play. Like the one holding a fan to fan him, like the one holding a gun, the one holding talisman.
When we do museum theatre, we often have to discuss if there are any characters or real people that we can't play because it might be seen as disrespectful. Is it okay in Ghana to play a king? Is it a historical king or is it a living king?
Actually, the current king of Ashanti Kingdom, when he was celebrating his 20th anniversary 5 years ago, I was commissioned to write a script based on his achievement and legacy. So I auditioned some actors within the region for the performance. So here, we don't see that as a disrespectful, some kind of attitude or behavior. So I must say that it is accepted to play the role of a king, yeah, in Ghana here.
It's fine here as well. People play the royal family all the time. But sometimes some people who are public figures don't give permission for people to play them. So that's been an interesting discussion that we've had. That's really interesting. But I'm very impressed that you've written scripts about the king for commissioned, you know, by the king. That's very impressive.
Yeah, sure.
So this sounds like a really interesting object to interpret. When you auditioned for actors, did you use professional actors or people who worked at the museum or people from the community?
Yeah, actually, one good thing is that the museum, that is the Prempeh the Second Jubilee Museum in Kumasi in Ghana, the museum itself is part of the services of the Center for National Culture. That's where I work. In my office, as I mentioned earlier, we have several departments, including the visual arts department, the performing arts department. We have the craft shops, the museums, and all that. So the performing arts department, we have actors, we have dancers, we have drummers, and all kinds of artists over there. However, they have never been engaged in museum theater performance before, but they have been performing different kinds of drama before. So I coached them, I directed them as to what museum theater is. After scripting the performance on the language staff, I did a production conference whereby I put them through the nuances of museum theater. So they understood it. And since the actors there are professionals, it wasn't a problem at all.
The shiny, the rough, they're all laid out. Wonderful shells the sea brings. Some colorful stones, they're on the shore. Come take a look at these curious things.
So what I'm interested in, obviously, is you're a bit of a pioneer in this area in your country, because to my knowledge, there isn't really any museum theatre over there. So are you the first person doing this kind of performance in museums?
Yeah, largely, I must. However, like the Manchester Palace Museum, for instance, when you go there, like they have a film, like there is a TV there that showcases some of the festivals of the Asante people there for tourists. But all these things are not based on, like, let's say, the museum collections over there. However, they showcase festivals and some kind of cultural displays for guests, but not based on the artifacts at the museum.
So they're cultural performances, but not museum theatre.
The concept are like Catherine Hughes, Bridal and Co.
Yes.
So I came across several authors.
That'd be thrilled.
So I began to read, like Hughes' book in 1998, which is Museum Theatre, Communicating with Visitors via Drama.
Yep.
Yeah, so I got that.
There's only been a few books written about it. So, yep, you've sounds like you've got the main two. And, you know, there were a few other ones sort of written,
Sure. Like that of Anthony Jackson, who is a British professor emeritus of educational theatre at the University of Manchester, UK.
Oh, Anthony Jackson.
Their work on performance, learning and heritage. Exactly.
That's right, so Anthony Jackson, yeah.
I came across several materials, and also that of Tessa Bridal, who published...
Tessa Bridal, yeah. Well, hopefully you can come to one of the conferences. That'd be fantastic if you can
book,
come
in. Exploring Museum Theatre. Yeah, exactly.
Because you're starting this concept, did you have any difficulties introducing it, the concept, or was everybody thinking this would be a great thing? Was there anything challenging or hard about it?
Initially, initially when I was researching on this concept, I had issues with some lecturers from the famous universities in Ghana, like University of Ghana, Legon, University of Cape Coast, and where I also did my MPhil in Art and Culture at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology. So I consulted a lot of lecturers, and they had never heard Museum Theatre before. They had never heard the concept before. So initially, I was having challenges with them. You know, what is this? What is that and that? So I told them to also go online to go and research about it. And after researching on it, they came back to me and said that, wow, this is a fantastic, innovative concept that is very long overdue. I mean, one lecturer at the University of Cape Coast told me that this concept is long overdue in Ghana, and it's something that I must continue with it and to become the slogania or the campaigner of Museum Theatre in Ghana. So the lecturers have been encouraging me to do more with this concept.
I think that's fantastic. So my next question is, is this something that will be taught at universities now? Is this something that could be taught as part of a screen, you know, a playwriting course or something, an acting course?
One lecturer told me that it's something that they'll consider at the faculty level to discuss about it so that they can mount it as part of the courses.
Fantastic. This makes me so incredibly happy, Emmanuel. You've been such a wonderful champion for this. It's very, very exciting to hear what you've
Thank
done. So my next question is, so at the beginning of the story, you said there were tourists asking for performance. What did they think when you gave them the performance, when you started doing these shows? What did the tourists think?
The tourists, they were excited, so much excited. Like, some were students, some were also tourists from France and other countries. And they told me that it was fantastic. It helped them to have better understanding and comprehension of the language stuff. And it's something that they even encouraged me to even do it every day. But since it's something that I just began with it, I'm still finding time to work on it so that it will be part and parcel of the services of the museum. So the feedback was overwhelming. The feedback was overwhelming from the lecturers, from actors.
The feedback has been unanimously positive. So everybody, so performers, and tourists and visitors and academics in the field have all said
exactly.
A wonderful thing. That's great.
Sure.
That's a really, really amazingly positive outcome for, you know, this initial experiment. Do you think that people have, I have a question first. Do you deliver this performance in English, or do you do multilingual performances, or do you do ones in different languages? Like, which languages do you deliver this performance in?
Okay, actually, this one I used the Ghanaian language, which is the Asante tree, for the performance. However, actually, the plan was to have it in both English and tree, but because of the funding issue, I have to first use the local language, and going forward, I'll make sure that I have both the English version as well, so that those from Europe, can also have understanding of the performance.
It sounds like a lot of people came into the show, but they didn't understand the language, but they still enjoyed it. Why do you think they enjoyed it, even if they couldn't understand the language? What do you think they liked about it?
Yeah, actually, after the performance, the director of Alliance Francaise in the Ashanti region, who was with the France embassy. So I approached her and asked her if she understood the language and the performance. She told me that for the language, no, but the performance, through their gestures and movement, she was able to have some, I mean, she was able to understand certain portions of the play based on the actors' facial expressions, movement, and gestures. That's how some, and also the rhythms of the music. There was also live music, live musical performance based on the artifact as well, based on the language staff as well. So it was a mixture of both the drama and the music.
Did you write the music, or did you have musicians come in and interpret the staff with music, or did you use cultural music or royal music?
Yeah, so actually, as I said, the office where I work under the performance department, you have musicians, you have dancers, drummers. So so I gave them the concepts, and I also gave them the words for the music. So they composed song the song based on the museum artifact of the language staff.
I haven't really heard much of either. I'm trying to think of another example of a performance I've seen where the object has been turned into music. So that is a really interesting concept. And of course, we have our online forum conference coming up soon. So I hope that you're going to present on these things at our conference, because it really sounds like you're creating something that does break down the language barriers. So obviously it's been very successful locally. How much more do you think people understand about the linguistic stuff through seeing this performance? So when it was just in the museum, how much more information were you able to tell them because of the play?
So actually, for the play, I went to the museum to go and see the creator, had an interview with the creator, so and got the content based on the history surrounding the artifacts of the language staff. So and actually, when tourists come to the museum, some like the creators or the tour guides do not usually spend much time based on the artifacts or the collections because there are many. However, because the performance was based solely on the artifacts of the museum of the language staff, the performance had more information even than the oral interpretation that the tour guides give the tourists, because the performance even went beyond what the tour guides even give to the tourists. It was the performance based on the origin of each of the families, their kind of clan system, their totems, the philosophies behind them, everything, their symbolism, the colors and what each represents, everything. So the performance carried more information even than the oral interpretation that the tour guides give to the tourists or visitors.
Did the actors talk to you much about their experience working on this play?
Actually, so after the performance, as I said earlier, before that, there was production conference with them. And after the performance, I also met them to even appreciate their efforts for undertaking this innovative project. And through that, they also gave their feedback, which was also highly, highly commendable. I mean, they expressed their happiness to even do more of that, to even try and find time to even script most of the artifacts at the museum for performance. So they were excited about this performance, and especially and the students as well, because the students, when they came, I made them to go to the museum first to go and witness the oral interpretation. And after that, they come to watch the performance. So I assessed their perspectives or their opinions based on the two, watching the performance and also going for the oral interpretation, which helped them to have better understanding of the artifact. And they gave 100% rate response that the performance was fantastic, and they even want more of that.
So they found it very rewarding. So they did they talk to you much about what they learned from performing this play?
Yeah, so actually, I as a dramatist, I always tell people the best way to learn is through theater, because being part of the performance for centuries, it will still, you know, be with you. It will have, I mean, like it will leave that indelible memory. I mean, it will stay in the mind for long than having the oral interpretation. Yeah, so they also said that, and for them, we even had one month rehearsals. So they told me that it even helped them to have better, and that it also broadened their horizon to even learn more about the artifact that they used to see when they go to funerals, when they go to religious festivals, rituals, and other events. The performance made them have enhanced or improved knowledge about the artifacts. So it helped them more.
I'm looking at pictures from the museum, and I'm interested. It looks like the performance was done outside. Was it done inside the museum or outside the museum?
Yeah, the performance actually, it was done inside the museum, but not where the museum collections were. The museum has a bigger space. So it was done at the bigger space, but it was within the museum.
Oh, actually, so it was inside the museum, but in a bigger space.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So not outside. So it was under
exactly
a
not.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And you had a prop? Did you have a real linguist staff, or did you have a prop that you used in the play?
As part of the recommendations, this is something that I am also working on. Actually, because I am a staff at the cultural center, I had the rare privilege to use the original props or the original linguist staff for the performance. But going forward, we are going to have replicas of the artifact that you're using for the performances. Yeah. But because this was the maiden edition, or let's say I had the opportunity to use the rare museum collection. But apart from the language staff artifacts, all other props like the stool, the chief's adornment, and everything was original.
Right, amazing. So that brings me really neatly to my last question, which is, what will you do next? What is the next museum theatre project for you?
Yeah. So as I said earlier, after the performance, the woman at the Alliance Francaise, through the France embassy, she told Emmanuel, don't let this be the first and the last. That's what she told me. Don't let this be the first and the last. It's so good. It's so good. You have to continue and carry it. Do it more. I mean,
I think those are very wise words. I think those are fantastic wise words.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, sure.
Do you have an idea? What's going to happen next?
Yeah, exactly. So, just this week, I had an interaction with a lecturer at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology. He has also expressed interest in this project, and we shall be working on the reenactment of the battle between Asantes and the Dentures, which was the war of independence for the Asantes. So there's going to be a museum theater performance on the war of Asante independence.
That's amazing.
So that is something that.
Well, I think we might have to get you back on the podcast after your next project to tell us about how your museum theatre journey is going. But I'd like to say a huge thank you for coming on. And I know a lot of people are going to be really excited to hear what you've been working on. And hopefully we'll get in touch with you so, you know, we can become part of this broader museum theatre community. So, Manuel, thank you.
You're most welcome, Joe, and I am also excited, happy to be part of your family, and I'll be glad to be part as well. So, and also looking forward to some of your programs and conferences, and even if possible, to even come to Europe where this event will be taking place to have a practical experience of them as well.
The theme music for this episode is the title song from These Curious Things, a piece of museum theatre written by Michael Mills of Heaps Good Productions in Adelaide, Australia, and performed by Gemma Dandy and Michael Mills.